a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'm going to call this meeting of the Legislative Procedures Committee to order. Welcome to those on the internet and those in the audience this morning. Just a reminder to put your cell phones in an appropriate setting. Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Senators Fur.
Okay, we have a quorum. This morning we really have two items that are dominating the agenda. But before we do that, I'd like to look for approval from the minutes for January 20th. Moved by Rave, seconded by Munsterman. Is there any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. First up on the agenda this morning is discussion of the calendar for the 2015 session. There were five versions of the calendar that were distributed, and I'd probably turn it over to Director Schoenfeld if you want to give us a 30,000-foot overview of what those different versions are.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll be glad to. For purposes of the record, I'm Fred Schoenfeld, the interim director of the LRC. We distributed a memorandum with four initial versions, and then we had a request for a fifth, so you should have in your available to you options A, B, C, D, and E. A and B were based on a 38-day calendar, which we've used for the current session. We just adapted to the new year. The difference between the two was February 23rd on option A. The four-day week starts on Monday. Option B, it starts on Tuesday. The only motive in terms of that difference was just to have the two options. We were asked then for an option C, which is a 40-day calendar. And after that had been available, there was a request for an option D, which is a 39-day calendar. What it does is adds January 26th to option B, and then it moves a Monday to Friday, February 6th, to better accommodate the military ball. Option E is the same as option D, except that there was some late uncertainty yesterday as to the date of the military ball, whether it was the 12th or the 6th. So option E assumes the military ball would be on Thursday, February 26th. I'm sorry, February 12th.
February. Right. I guess I would open it up at this time. Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, one concern I heard that seemed unanimous, at least in our side, was some frustration with running into deadlines, getting bills dropped at the beginning of session, and how jammed up we get. And of course, when we add days to the front end of the calendar, never to the back end. And so we always seem to have plenty of time on the back side, but we have members that don't have time to get their bills in on the front side. So Senator Brown and I had requested the 40-day be drafted. I had not seen the 39-day till I sat down here. I like it. I think it accommodates the military ball so that we are here to participate. I don't think it's a big deal not to have the four-day weekend. It gives you one more day to drop bills there on that Friday, and then you still can come back Monday and drop your final three. So, I mean, the only difference between that and the 40-day was you had that Monday here to actually get bills signed and then get them dropped on Tuesday. But I like the 39-day compromise. I think it just takes a little pressure off the front end, and I guess at the appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, I would move that, or we can discuss it some more, whatever your pleasure.
Are there any other comments or questions for the director? Any other discussion on the calendars?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rave?
I would move calendar E. I don't know what it is. The 39-day one that says E on it. So
I think, just to clarify, I think you're probably looking for D. The difference between D and E was the question of when the military ball was. That's been confirmed, and calendar D would accommodate the military ball better than calendar E.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Senator Ray moves that we adopt calendar D.
I didn't have a D, so I'll take that one.
Is there a second? Seconded by Gosh. Any other discussion? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify with Director Schoenfeld, didn't you say February 12th would be the night of the military ball? And on calendar D, I'm looking at it as...
The military ball has been confirmed to be on the night of the 5th.
Oh, okay.
That's why calendar D would allow for a legislative day on the 6th.
Okay, thank you. But same thing.
Any other discussion on calendar D? Representative Lust.
Mr. Chair, I like calendar D. I would propose we change the months from January, February, and March to April, May, and June to accommodate my calendar.
Sounds like somebody who won't be.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. That's right.
Any relevant discussion? All right, seeing no more discussion, the motion before you is Senator Rave's do pass motion on calendar D. All those in favor of calendar D will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator.
That's a word for it.
What was your count? It was 14, 12 ayes and 2 noes.
The motion passes with 12 ayes and 2 noes.
Sorry.
No problem. All right, next up on the agenda is discussion of any potential rule changes to our Red Book. I do believe that distributed to you were three proposals, so we will start with those. The first proposal was an amendment to Rule 6B3, which limits members to prime sponsorship of 5 concurrent resolutions. Is there anyone that would like to take credit for that?
Mr. Chair, I actually have I don't know if it's a substitute motion, but I have a different proposal regarding resolutions, and I have it drafted, and I will circulate it. The pages would come here.
Mr. Chairman, Doug Decker on our staff was the one who has worked with these changes, so I'm going to bring him to the table and he can respond to any questions.
And Mr. Chairman, I worked with Mr. Decker on this proposal. Essentially, it takes a limitation from 5 to 4 on resolutions. And it staggers the deadline. So the first 3 you could bring before the 9th legislative day, and the last one would then have to be brought by the existing deadline. So I would ask the committee to look at that, review it, and entertain any thoughts on that. And this is primarily in response to what I've dubbed the year of the resolution, at least in the House. And I think there's been great concern in our caucus to limit that.
When you say the 9th day, would that be in January or June?
Well, in my proposal in the previous discussion item, it would have been June. But
Senator Ray.
Well, yeah, I appreciate Representative Lust bringing this. And I know that you and I have had many discussions about this over the course of the session as well. And I'm certainly not opposed to this type of situation, but what occurred in the last week, I think, may be self-limiting to the number of resolutions that are introduced, and I know Senator Brown and I have discussed at length about sharpening, you know, after he and the rule book clarified to all of us in the Senate what exactly a resolution is for. It's not a commemoration. It's, if you read it, it's very clear what it's for. And I think if we are more diligent as leaders in letting people know, just reminding them, hey, you know, you can't say Senator Frerichs is a great guy, whereas resolved. I mean, that's not what a resolution is for. It probably limits the problem that we had. So I don't know if that means we do something like this and sharpen up that rule that deals with the definition of what a resolution is and what a commemoration is, and just very clearly defines that, and we all are on board with that. That includes drafters as well as legislators, and maybe that takes care of the problem. So I just throw those thoughts out for discussion and would stand by.
Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, sir. You know, to that point, the third document in the packet, Doug, would you turn to that as well? Because the leader talked about 6 Alpha Attack 1, subparagraph 2. So 6 Alpha Dash 1, subparagraph 2. I've read this different ways over the years, and what the leader was saying is the conversation that we've had in the Senate, that second sentence is limiting, but you could read it both ways. And I would like your interpretation first, and then may I have a follow-up, sir?
Mr. Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Doug Decker, Code Counsel. I had been asked to look at 6A-1 and see if there was any possible changes to it. And I started with looking at Subdivision 2. Subdivision 2 had the word memorialize in there, and I didn't think that quite fit with what a concurrent resolution was ordinarily designed to do. And so I took the various obvious step of overstriking it to take it out of there, and then with the thought that a commemorative is clearly the vehicle for honoring a person for their good works and recognizing that, and then limiting a concurrent resolution to such things as are listed there regarding a statement of opinion or a principle of the legislature. And the rest of the changes you see in subdivisions 1, 2, and 5 are more or less style and form.
Follow up. The question I asked was clouded. I'm sorry, Doug. You added at the end how I have interpreted it and have advised over the years that it's limiting, but I think I'm on weak ground because it says a concurrent resolution may be used. It's not limiting. Consequently, to what the leader had said earlier, I was thinking, regardless of the proposal from Leader Lust, you were drafting this as believing it was limited, and maybe we should consider later, Mr. Chair, a concurrent resolution may only be, and add the word only, because I don't read it as limiting, and that's the confusion I've had over the years in abuse situations that we're talking about.
I wouldn't disagree with that interpretation, but the way I was looking at subdivision 2, it says a concurrent resolution may, that means it is permitted to be used for, and then it lists, and I would interpret that as the exclusive list,
yes, sir,
and therefore not needing the word only, but if you think that is better,
Thank you.
I wouldn't disagree.
Thanks, sir.
Okay. I'll bring us back to Leader Lust's substitute proposal that he's distributed here, draft 2 on Rule 6B3. Representative Bartling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the leader's substitute motion. I'm not certain that I'm 100% behind it, just because I think it could cause some confusion with legislators. We certainly have had the concern of the number of resolutions also brought on the floor this year, but I guess I would suggest if we needed to try and bring the resolutions a little bit more to the front end of the calendar, perhaps that they all just need to be introduced by the ninth day rather than leaving one tailing out there for that last day. I just feel there might be some confusion. Thank
Representative
you.
Lust.
Thank you, and I appreciate it. That was my original proposal, but with discussions among some of my caucus, there was the concern that if there was something pressing that, for two things. One, you got the new people who may not be able to pick up quickly on the deadlines and procedures, and also those who may, something may arise that prompts the desire or need for a resolution during the first couple weeks that then extends it out a few weeks. So I was with you. I do believe this gives a little bit more flexibility. It is consistent with the concept we have about the three, and then after the date you can only bring, or it's unlimited, and then after the date you can only bring three. It's somewhat similar to that concept, so it shouldn't be foreign to the members of this of the legislature. And I think that extra flexibility may be justified.
Further discussion? That entertain Representative Hunhoff.
You know, I think I'm 100% in agreement with it for all the reasons we've talked about. I just wonder if, you know, just your response. I mean, if we start limiting legislators on what they can do here and there, and if the next step could be a limit on how many bills they can introduce, or, you know, various limitations like that, you know, what kind of precedent we might set with this?
Representative Lust.
Well, I think this is addressing a situation that we've had not only this year but in previous years, and I think, you know, the members of this committee would be in agreement of the effectiveness of resolutions, concurrent resolutions. I might even, as a departing legislator, I may recommend to those who are here that we even, you know, prohibit them. I don't think they accomplish anything other than allow some grandstanding. But I don't see this as some sort of slippery slope that would, and I don't see any sentiment at all from anyone to limit the number of bills other than the limitations we already have.
Speaker Gosch.
Thank you. I do think the changes offered in the third proposal, 6A-1, combined with some turnover in the legislature, really probably adequately addresses the issue we had this year. I do applaud Leader, though, for bringing something to correct an issue that took up a lot of floor time this year. And I couldn't even tell you how many hours we spent discussing resolutions this year, but It'd be interesting to find out just how many hours we spent on the House floor talking about resolutions, including resolutions that probably should have been commemorations. And with the changes in 6A-1, I think the proper filtering occurs at the Legislative Research Council. And what were concurrent resolutions this year would be commemorations and then would not be discussed and would just automatically be on the calendar and passed and not taking up the floor time.
Senator Rafe.
Well, I agree with what the speaker said. I wonder, though, if I could ask a question maybe of Mr. Decker, that to go back to Lieutenant Governor's point, Doug, do you think, I would rather see that say in sub 2, a concurrent resolution shall, and then is there something that we should add to that list or delete from that list to clarify? I understand your point about that it would be self-limiting, and I'm okay with that because I agree with Leader Lust that I don't really have that much faith in a resolution anyway. So, but if you feel comfortable to add or delete something from that list to make it, I mean, so it is self-limiting. I don't know if I'm asking that right, but I understand your concern, but...
Mr. Decker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shall or may, I don't know if that is a significant change. It's identifying what is permitted in a concurrent resolution, but if you believe that limiting as in shall would be a concurrent resolution is required to be used for those things, you know, that may be a stronger statement. And then from the Lieutenant Governor's suggestion about limiting it further to through the use of the word only, you know, that would also tighten it down considerably.
Representative Lusk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to belabor this point, but I'll tell you, adding only or may, I don't think is going to limit someone who's at all creative. I can petition a federal agency to do just about anything I want, and that is as wide as is a highway. And all I have to do, if I'm creative, I can just say, I want to petition, pick a federal agency to do, and you name it, and I have complied with that rule. So I don't think that in any way will be a barrier or limit to someone who's got even an ounce of creativity.
Further discussion on Representative Lust's proposal to 6B-3. Senator Heinemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the limitation is a good idea. I think it will make every legislator be much more careful and will really hopefully bring up the importance of a House concurrent resolution that you don't do it unless it's really of great importance to you. So I think the limitation on numbers is very important.
Okay. Representative Lust.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendment to 6B-3 that's been distributed.
And that would be draft 2 for 6B-3 has been moved to pass by Representative Loss, seconded by Senator Rave. Further discussion? Seeing none, the motion before you is due pass on draft 2 of 6B-3. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Frerichs.
No.
Rave.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Soho.
Aye.
With 12 ayes, 2 nays, the draft 2 to 6B-3 is so adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rave.
I would move 6A-1, but I would like to add the word only, may only be used. So in sub 2, a concurrent resolution may only be used, if I could do that.
Could I make a suggestion before you make that motion?
Please.
How about we say a concurrent resolution shall only be
okay.
used? Would that be acceptable?
Yes, it would.
Okay. 6A-1 with the proposed change has been moved by Senator Rave, seconded by Representative Wink. Is there any discussion?
Well, I think just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I think that, again, I don't have a lot of faith in the resolutions. I do think that they are appropriate in a very few instances to send a message, and these are the exact reasons to do that. And I think this, again, once more tightens it down, even with what we did with Leader Lust's motion. So I would ask for your support of that motion and move 6A-1 as amended.
Okay. I guess maybe I would just take a moment here since I was the one that had asked Mr. Decker and the staff to draft some changes here in this particular section. You know, a comment was made, and I think it's probably pretty applicable. When we look at concurrent resolutions, really at the end of the day, you should ask yourself, if we pass this resolution, who do you want that sent to? I mean, there should be a receiving end of that message at some point other than just you know, someone that we're commemorating. And so while I think, you know, in the future we may need to continue to look at this list, you know, whether it's departments of state government or federal agencies or interim studies, I think generally speaking, the items that are on this list would comply with that kind of informal or common sense rule that if you were to pass a concurrent resolution, at least in these cases, you would have a specific entity or body to send that resolution to send that message. And I think with the inclusion of the amendment to say shall only be used for, I think that clarifies some of the concerns and clearly indicates that the purpose of that is to be limiting. So with that, I would look for any further discussion on the proposed motion. Seeing none, the motion before you is 6A-1 as amended, due pass. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. And the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frerichs.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Nobstrup.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Representatives Bartley.
Aye.
Hunoff.
Aye.
Lusk.
Aye.
Munsterman.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Wink.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
6A-1 as amended is so adopted. In our packet, we also had a proposal for 6C-1. Is there anyone caring to take credit for that? Mr. Decker, would you like to discuss the proposed change to 6C-1?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. 6C-1 is a simple change in that it adds the word amendment to the requirement of when a fiscal note can be added to a bill. It was suggested to us at the end of our legislative procedure meeting that began the session that we didn't have an amendment reference in there, and this is to correct that oversight. The same procedure would require if an amendment's added to the bill, the same steps on how you request one and if one is can be provided would be met with that requirement.
Okay. Are there any questions for Mr. Decker? Is there any committee discussion and or action?
Move 6C-1.
Representative Gosch has moved 6C-1. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Rave. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the proposal for 6C-1 will say aye. Those opposed will say no. Secretary will call the roll. 6C-1 is so adopted unanimously. And as we're sitting here, I see another proposal has popped up.
Yeah.
A proposal to Rule 12-3, Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Well, in looking at the rule and having it applied this year and in past years, when you have a motion on the floor, it takes a majority vote of the members present to pass it. If somebody calls for division, you ask for those to support it to stand. Once you know the number in your body and you have them stand, you know whether that motion passes or not. There's no need at that point to have the ones in the negative stand. It seems superfluous at that point. Plus, it allows for double voting because you're not going to remember who exactly stood and who didn't that first time. I was talking with the Lieutenant Governor about this, and about the only thing I could think of where you would need less than a majority of the members present is the case for motioning to adjourn, which you can have less than a quorum for such purposes. But I can't imagine that would ever come into play where you have more people wanting to stand on a division request for a no vote on adjourning than you do in the affirmative. But in most cases, you just wouldn't need that last part. If you're going to know whether the motion passes or not based on the number of people affirmatively rising to support that motion.
Okay. Further discussion? Lieutenant Governor.
The Speaker and I have been talking about it, and, we've been here long enough. It's a provision that I've ignored forever because I've already done the math. So why go through the exercise?
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a point of clarification, this would mostly just be in the case of amendments or anything. I mean, something even as significant as adjournment usually would require, you think there could be more of a recorded vote or something that's significant. I mean, where it's, in this case here, where there's just going to be standing, it's most likely going to be a more secondary type of motion, I guess, is what I would gather.
Further discussion. At this point, I would look for a motion and or action on the proposal to 12-3. Representative Bartling has moved 12-3 to pass, seconded by Senator Rave. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the proposal to 12-3 shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frerichs.
Aye.
Gosh.
Aye.
12-3 is adopted unanimously. At this point, that takes care of the items that I saw on the list and that have been distributed. Were there any further proposed rule changes? right. Seeing none. Senator Rave has moved to adjourn, seconded by Representative Wink. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.